In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. I spend maybe an inordinate amount of time trying to understand the world in which we live, that somehow understanding it might make it a little bit easier for me to live in it. And while I have come up with a variety of different explanations for the rebellion of the human condition, it really comes back to one very simple fact, that reality that has always been present, that was manifest when Adam and Eve disobeyed God, and what has continued throughout in every age and in all ages. And that is, we as human persons refuse to be governed. Men refuse to be ruled. Is that not, after all, the temptation that Satan set before Adam and Eve? If you eat from the tree, you will know the things of God. You will be like God. You will have God's knowledge. We all want to be king or queen for a day. And in truth, we all are also believe that if we could just be king or queen for a day, we would put everything right. If everyone would just follow us, listen to us, obey us. But then we neglect the fact that we must first be obedient to God, to ask others to follow me, ask others to listen to me, to exercise my rightful authority as priest or mother or father, husband as wife, wherever that authority may manifest itself, first comes from one who is willing to bend his knee before God. When men refuse to be governed, now we understand the chaos in which we actually live. Because then what motivates us is not good social order, not some sense of caring one for another. What motivates us is to amass as much power and authority as we possibly can so that we can then lord it over others. That is the only reason that we exist in this world, if a refusal to be obedient is what is at the heart of our struggles. And so in our gospel, the Lord reminds us at the end that he who does not practice the virtue of humility will in some way, shape, or form eventually find himself truly humbled. And the humble one is the one who is open to God's grace to receive the fullness of that grace. We know already, brothers and sisters, that the virtue of humility is at the heart of the spiritual life. One cannot embrace virtue. One cannot grow in holiness unless one is first humble. Because the humble man, the humble woman, understands themselves as in need of God's grace. The humble person also recognizes that whatever gifts and talents they have been bestowed upon them must be disposed of according to the will and the providence of God. The humble person is pliable in the hands of God, to be molded as God sees fit, to do what God commands them to do, and to do that with joy. All of our lives must be a searching for and a desire to live out this virtue of humility. Which means we cannot be concerned about the world. If you are concerned about how you look or what you wear, if you're concerned about what people think about you or your status in society and culture, if you're overwhelmed about all the things swirling around you, then that is where your energy will be. And you won't be pliable in the hands of God. Instead, do not be concerned about the things that are fleeting, that come and go. Be concerned about the things that last. And he who lasts is God. And God gives us peace and strength and joy. And if we want to transform the world, we can only do that if we are God's instruments of grace. And we can only be effective instruments of grace if we allow God to mold us and then to point us in the direction he wants us to go. When I think about this world and the refusal of men to be governed, I wonder, how has this come to pass? I look at everyone outside, you all, and say, if they would just do what they are told. And then I pause and I look in the mirror and I say, if I would do what I have been told. This is where it always begins. Yes, we want everyone to be obedient, but I can't wait for your obedience before I live mine. And if you fail to live yours, that doesn't excuse me or give me license not to live mine. And therein, yet again, lies one of the difficulties of the modern age. Everyone is so concerned about what other people are doing that they lose sight of the fact that they should be concerned about themselves. You have enough to get yourself to heaven. You have enough to get those that you love to heaven, your spouses and your children. And if you are worried about the world, and there are things in the world that are a source of worry, if you want to see them changed and transformed, then be focused on the things that are within your grasp and power. Because the simple fact is this: the world may or may not change. And if we understand our history well, we are clearly aware of the fact that more often than not, the church is in conflict with society and culture. There has been peace, but it's been fleeting. And so the time in which we now live is not unique or special. The conflicts that we have with the world, we're not the first ones to have them. We certainly won't be the last ones to have them. What do we do then when the world resists us? When the world hems us in? We continue to do what we always do. There's no different plan, no new plan, no secret plan. If I could just find what God really wants me to, if I can find the truth, God has revealed the truth to you. God has given you everything. There's nothing hidden. There's nothing secret. There's no cachet of grace that God is keeping over here away from you and only giving to the special people. Everything you need to live according to the law of Christ, to be obedient men and women, has been bestowed upon you. In this very sacrifice, in the Eucharist you are about to receive, you will receive everything you need. If it's lacking, it's not because God is lacking. It's because we are not cooperating with the graces that God bestows upon us. But let me own my own statements. I am not cooperating with the graces that God gives me, and so my failure is my own, and my successes belong to God. This is not an easy task. It has never been an easy task. It will not be an easy task. If it were an easy task, then the cross would not be that sign under which we mark ourselves and that banner that we raise up that orders and others might follow us. It requires sacrifice, the shedding of our blood and the gifts of our bodies in spirit. And there is a time coming soon, I'm afraid, that indeed they will require literally our physical bodies. Should we be afraid? I don't know. Maybe on a natural level, it might come that there would be some fear. But on a supernatural level, not at all. Because we are God's sons, daughters, first, last, always. And as his beloved children, we understand that the life of virtue to which he has called us, living out of that humility, will give us all that we need to actually endure. I would love to believe that when the martyrdom comes, I will be the first one to run into the streets to offer my body in sacrifice in defense of the faith. But I know at times my cowardice and my fear, my anxieties and my doubts and trepidations. But then I also pause for a moment and I know that that which is lacking in me, if I can just open myself a little, God will make up for all of my shortcomings, my failings, and my sins. And so truly, brothers and sisters, when we look at the world and our place in it as true, authentically seeking to live Catholic men and women, we understand all the things arrayed against us. But all those things that are on our side far outweigh all the obstacles that stand in our way. And the key to unlocking all of those treasures that God bestows upon us is this virtue of humility. Allow God to be the one who lifts you up. Find your peace, your joy, your confidence in your own understanding of self because of your dignity in God. Don't be worried about the world or the things that swirl around you. Because he has all of this in his hands, according to his providence. And all of it now is victorious in the cross of our Savior. Be humble, so that God's grace may truly lift you up. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.